Jones, we have top men working on it right now.
It was a most ripping victory.
No! Get to the chopper!
Oh, who'd have thought?
I can't
now
believe
it's Christmas.
It. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need.
Welcome to the Parkway Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And I'm Byron.
And I am Ward from the Parkway Theater.
And the reason that I'm playing this song, this is James Corden singing in the car with Mariah Carey, because I love this Christmas song, and because it's kind of celebratory. I feel like all I want for Christmas, all the Parkway wanted, was that federal money to pass, and it happened tonight. Woo! Excellent news. The Save Our Stages Act passed with the $900 billion package that Congress passed. So, Ward, how you feeling, buddy?
Yeah, great news for the Parkway Theater, First Avenue, the Cedar Cultural Center, the Dakota, all your favorite venues. It's a happy time.
That's being finalized tonight. God help us. Our fearless leader president will sign that bill sometime tomorrow or Monday when you're listening to this. And it'll happen. There'll be some $10 to $15 billion for independent music theaters, music venues, including the Parkway. So that's fantastic. Minnesota also has a small amount of money for theaters. So that's good news all around. Yeah, I'm excited. That is not the movie we're discussing. We had a little Twitter watch party sponsored by the theater. Guest hosting Laserbeak on Friday, where Love Actually was the topic, and this song, of course, is a big part of that movie. But that's not what we're discussing tonight. Tonight, we will be discussing, let's see, I'll play us in, and people maybe will know what we're talking about here.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble?
Looks like we'll have to send someone down. A lot of people asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
George Bailey?
Mm.
Yes, tonight's his crucial night, you're right.
I'm sure that anybody who likes this movie already knows what we're talking about.
That's
of course.
Why I came
here's
to
the name.
See you, sir.
They know this opening scene.
Again. Oh, Clarence.
It is. It's
hasn't
a wonderful
yet,
life.
We passed him up right along.
Six.
Because, you know, sir, he's
boy,
got
what
the
kind
IQ
of drink would we have with this
yes,
one?
Yes, but he's got the faith
Byron,
of a child.
That's your drink of the show.
Joseph,
well, I think they mention in the movie that there is some
me,
sort
sir?
Of double
yes,
bourbon
Clarence.
Or something like
a
that
man
with
down
some
on
water.
Earth
but right now I am actually drinking an eggnog I made myself.
An eggnog, and so it's called an eggnog I made myself.
Yeah, that it's actually sounds... that's the full name of the drink. No, it's I actually made homemade eggnog and added bourbon to it, and I am enjoying the heck out of it right now. What are you guys drinking?
Mmm. I drink anything I could to get me through this movie.
Byron, are you going to be like suffering from E. coli by the end of this podcast from your?
Yeah, we might. Yeah, if you hear me drop off a little bit, it might be because I have to go make an emergency exit to the bathroom.
That's the alcohol kills that though. When you have six parts whiskey or rum, whatever to your.
Oh. Only six? Oh, I think I might have made this wrong then.
Well, sorry to hear that. I'm drinking Sippy Squeeze. It's not very Christmassy, but it's from Minnesota, and it's delicious. Hazy IPA. Mm-hmm. Not special. What about you, Ward?
I'm just going back to the old standby. I've got a little glass of vodka here with some lemon juice, and I was going to try to think of something clever to say in Jimmy Stewart accent, but I'm not going to put you guys through that.
Well, Byron and I did that off air before you called, and it was pretty terrible.
Probably a lot of
we had a pretty good Jimmy Stewart off. I think
it was a lot of
we both realized we were bad.
Yeah, it sounded.
We both realized we were myself bad. Just
some, I'm having myself some vodka here.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well,
you want
okay.
the moon?
Let me just. I'll just go through these numbers here. We got James Stewart in the lead role of George Bailey, followed by, I'm going to say, superstar Donna Reed playing Mary Hatch, and then a bunch of other people. Who cares about? I don't know them, and I don't know. I don't know if it matters. I don't know. I literally don't know any of these people, and I don't know. So that's it there. And then it's, of course, written and directed by Frank Capra. This movie, I want you guys to guess. What do you think the budget of this movie was? And Ward, if you looked it up, don't guess this time. Come on.
All right, I'm not going to guess because I did look it up already.
Okay.
Well, I looked it up too, so that doesn't
okay.
work.
So I'll just say the budget was $3.2 million and the box office was $3.3 million. Huge success. We're talking building and loan type money here. Lots of profits on this one. Not really, but it does have a tomato meter score of 94%. The critics love it. The audience does too, 95%. The plot summary is, an angel is sent from heaven to help a desperately frustrated businessman by showing him what life would have been like if he had never existed. And that is my last note on this movie. Because, Byron, you need to convince me I should watch this movie again.
why are you putting that on me?
why am I doing that?
Why?
Wait.
Okay.
Was
so
that your Jimmy
what is your,
Stewart?
Oh, Byron. No, that was my Byron. I was doing Byron doing Jimmy Stewart. So, okay. What is your history with this movie? What is your history with this movie, Ward? We all said last time we'd never seen it.
Oh, yeah, I have a deep.
Do you know of it?
I have a deep and long history with this movie. I started it about 2.5 hours ago, and that was the first time seeing it. Yeah, I don't know a lot about the movie. We show it at the Parkway every year, and it always sells out. So I figured, there must be something going on here. People seem to love it. I figure I need to give it a chance, and I just watched it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were today years old, as they say.
That's right.
Byron.
I was today years old when I realized that It's a Wonderful Life is kind of batshit crazy. It's kind of bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of batshit, I would have rather watched Batman Returns than this, but okay, it's still a Christmas movie.
Explain why you think it's crazy.
No, Byron, let's not go there yet. You tell us where you think can I
interrupt? I'm just going to the moment that a cop started randomly shooting into a crowd, I was like, this movie's kind of fucking crazy.
I got to say, I didn't even watch that part. I must have fast-forwarded through it.
All right, for me,
I think you may
movie.
Be joking. You may be joking, but
no,
I don't know.
No, that happened.
I did fast forward. Okay. That did happen.
Yes, it actually did happen. He did just start randomly firing into a crowd because he apparently thought he was drunk or something.
In Batman Returns or in this movie? I don't know what we're talking about now. Okay, so Byron, we're jumping in too deep. Byron, what did you know this movie? Because I can't wait to say what my history with this movie is. Byron, what was yours?
No, I did not have any history with this movie until I watched it. But after I watched it, I realized I have seen this plot played out a whole bunch of times, done as parody in a lot of different things. I can't really name anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure if you have ever seen anything where you're getting shown a scenario in what happens if you weren't born and you see what ends up happening, and it always ends up being worse, you've probably have seen It's a Wonderful Life, and that is the entire plot of the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
So were you aware of it, though? Like, could you have named the main character? Could you have
absolutely
said
not. I could not have named the main character. I could not have named any specific point in this movie. I only could have named that there was a point where an angel descends from some other heavenly beings and decided to come down and show you a scenario in which you were not born. Because that seems to be the general plot point people have taken away from this film.
My history with this movie is Ward suggested it last time we recorded. And since then, people have asked me, what are you doing the next movie on? And I say, I don't know. I think A Miracle on 34th Street, or maybe one of those other old black and white Christmas movies I've never seen. I literally could not tell you the name of this movie until this morning when I woke up and I had to listen to the end of our last podcast
to find out what we were watching.
You forgot what we were watching.
Because I know what when Ward said, and we're doing It's a Wonderful Life, my mind just went, some random black and white movie I've never seen. Didn't even absorb the title. And so I could not distinguish this one from any of those other movies, and I also couldn't tell you the plot of or any of the characters in It's a Wonderful Life.
I feel like so that's Matt my history. Is going to be visited by an angel tonight.
Maybe. But I have seen whatever the hell the Guthrie puts on, and whatever the hell that
Christmas
with
Carol,
you know, with Christmas Carol, yeah,
yeah.
So I have seen that. I've seen the Disney version with Jiminy Cricket. I guess is maybe how I've experienced that.
Or
anyway,
Jiminy Cricket,
so I had
you say.
No idea. Yeah, Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy
I had
Cricket.
No idea. This is going to be the best episode we've ever done. And so many people are going to hate this episode. Yeah. I understand. Okay, here's the other thing I want to say as we get started here. This movie, named the number one most inspirational movie of all time by the American Film Institute. I mean, can you believe that?
Well, did you guys feel inspired at all? I felt a little bit inspired.
I felt a little bit inspired. I'm kind of in between. I felt a little inspired.
Okay.
I agree.
So Byron, let's hear the
movie. It's a black
let's hear
and white
the case.
Movie. Oh, go ahead.
Let's hear the case for It's a Wonderful Life.
I found this very positive, at least for me. Not having watched this film at all, I really enjoyed it. I thought it highlighted exactly what we needed at this time of year, not only at this time of year in our current situation, but also just in this time of year of Christmas and of winter, is that we need to be shown the capacity of human goodness and, you know, what we're capable of as far as being positive, because we have been shown way too much how much the capacity of our negativity.
There, did that just melt your cold, bittered heart, Matt?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, I'm going to back that up. I think it's, I like it. It's a positive movie. I will say that this, again, this movie is batshit crazy. I mean, this guy is like $8,000 away from becoming Michael Douglas and falling down, and it gets pretty crazy. But, you know, it had a good message in the end. I felt like at the end, like, yeah, this is, you know, I felt inspired. Not sure inspired to do what. Inspired to do something. He's still sleeping.
Poor Matt over there.
And by the way,
the problem I have with this movie.
While we're on the topic of the 8,000 real quick. I did the math, and
you know, how much is it in today's dollars?
$113,000.
For a bank, that's nothing. Yeah. Why do they care?
It's not really a bank. I mean, do we know if he's FDIC insured? I mean, he might just be straight up on the hook for that.
I don't know.
I'd go Michael Douglas and falling down over $113,000. I think.
Yeah, certainly I would as well.
Well, I mean, the problem I had with this movie was not so much the message or the plot or whatever. It's just I just can't handle the old-timey, folksy, I just do not understand the appeal of this. I really didn't think, I mean, Jimmy Stewart, I just can't handle watching this. I don't know what that noise was.
Do you normally watch movies made, you know, before? I don't usually watch movies made before 1970, or rarely do I.
Yeah.
Do you guys?
Yeah, no, I don't either. No.
No, for me, probably the earliest movie I would watch would be Dr. No.
Yes, we did our, yeah, our, yes. And every time we did one of those 60s Bond movies, Byron, I was like, this is so weird. This is so different than we make movies now.
It was so incredibly foreign. And even going into this movie, it kind of felt a little bit foreign. But, I mean, I guess because it was Christmas and because I was, I guess maybe I was in the mood for looking for a positive message in which this movie somehow was able to speak to me.
I did think you could... I mean, obviously it's dated. I mean, it's in black and white, but it's kind of funny, like, you know, the scenes of them ogling women walking down the street and catcalling, and it didn't age very well.
Yeah, no, it absolutely didn't. I mean, some of it was very, some of the humor was almost like, I mean, it was like they put in cartoons now where, you know, you take your kid to a rated G movie and they have this adult humor that the kids are never going to get, but it's still funny. They did some of that in this, which is an adult movie, but they did that like,
are you talking about when she loses her robe?
No, I mean, that could be another one, but
that was a little creepy.
But you said when they're walking down the street, so that one girl is walking down the street and then they all look over the car and then, and then the cop goes, I think I'm going to go home and see what my wife's up to. It's like, I get what he's saying. I get it. I get it. And just stuff like that. I mean, it was.
I didn't get that like, until now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
well, how about definitely. It's a PG movie and they're talking about suicide? Like, I mean, he's standing on the bridge.
Is this, there was no PG then, was it?
Was it no?
PG?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It wasn't a PG rating. You're right.
I don't even know what it, let me see. What does it say here?
PG-13. Oh, it came PG. Out today.
It says it's PG, but I guess I didn't know PG existed in 1946 anyway. Yeah, so it's PG. Yeah, no, it is because there was no PG-13. So they.
Yeah, I remember we reviewed that in, what was it, The Temple of Doom, where it was one of the films that caused PG-13 to exist.
Yeah, well, this one certainly didn't.
One other thing about this movie is that it, so something that I noticed when we showed it at the Parkway is when we test our movies before we show them, and it wasn't in widescreen, and I was kind of freaking out because I thought people were going to be pissed when they got to the movie and saw, you know, that our copy was in 4:3 aspect ratio, and it turns out it was actually released in 4:3. I looked it up, and they didn't have widescreen until 1953. So, you know, maybe that's another reason why Matt didn't like watching it, is he doesn't like those big black boxes on either side of the screen.
Well, no, I have a 4:3 aspect TV, so that's not even...
You got a boob tube?
Yeah, I do. I totally do. Well, to go back to my point of why I didn't like it, I mean, I watched this movie, and I'm thinking, every scene, Donna Reed... could be a star. She could be in Marvel movies. She could be a star today. I thought she was incredible. I mean, not only is she stunning, but her presence was amazing. And I just thought this Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey character was just a freaking clown.
Now, you like, hold on a minute.
This whole thing was just nothing compared to Donna Reed's, like, I don't know. I thought she was impeccable. So that really bugged me.
I just realized that my Jimmy Stewart sounds a lot like Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
Now, you hold on a minute there, mister.
And my Jimmy Stewart sounds a lot like B. Arthur, apparently.
B. Arthur. I love B. Arthur jokes, Byron. You really hit me in the feels there. And since you hit me in the feels, now we're going to play our game because we're 20 minutes in and you guys have to guess, is it Jimmy Stewart or is it somebody doing Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, no.
So here's the first. You both get to guess, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, there's no chiming in this time. Here's your first one.
Well, I guess we're going to have ourselves a nuclear holocaust.
Was that Jimmy Stewart or was it somebody doing
Ward,
Jimmy Stewart?
I'm going to say no.
No. You have to say, okay, I want you to tell me who. Could you tell who it was, though? That's the other part. Could you tell who it was?
No idea. Dana Carvey.
I'm going
to. No.
Oh, darn it. I was going to guess Dana Carvey.
Well, you can, but I just told him he's wrong, so you guess someone else.
No idea. Daryl Hammond.
I'll do this one more time. Here we go.
Well, I guess we're going to have ourselves a nuclear holocaust.
Jim Carrey?
Well, hey, everybody, come on over to the window.
What was that guess?
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey?
It is Jim Carrey. 1 point for Ward on the board. Here's
Byron
the next
got it
one.
Before me.
Oh, did Byron say it? Jim Carrey?
I said it over the clip, I think, but it probably
didn't
hear
me. I heard someone say it over the clip, so I expected that person to be honest and not try to steal it. But okay, here we go.
Now, folks, I know you've been hearing a lot about this thing that they call colorization. Now, if you're, that's what they call it. Now, if you don't know what it is, it's where they take a black and white movie, and which is perfectly fine the way it is, and with a computer, a guy presses doomby doomby doomby, and then the damn thing's in color all of a sudden.
Who's that?
Well, that's very clearly
that's got to be Dana Carvey,
who we already guessed. You want to go?
It's very
Lord?
Clearly Dana Carvey. Yes. A doomba doomba doomba.
A doomba doomba doomba.
Okay, I only have three, so here's your last one. This one's meta. This one gets crazy. It's going to be maybe about. Let's see. It's 38 seconds long. Here we go.
Let me show you how it's done, son.
Take your time.
Here's an impression for you. I'm Jim Carrey. I'll do anything for a laugh. I need attention 24 hours a day. Look at me. Look at me.
Is that Jim Carrey doing Jimmy Stewart doing Jim Carrey?
Byron wins.
Oh my
Byron,
God.
I cannot believe you got it.
That is very meta.
That was Jim Carrey doing Jimmy Stewart doing Jim Carrey. And I'm losing my shit.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Byron, you've redeemed yourself on all the other quizzes and things you failed.
That
was
pretty impressive.
Unbelievable.
Why in the world was I able to get that, but not anything
else?
Oh,
my God.
That didn't even occur to me that was happening. That was impressive.
So that was Saturday Night, some Saturday Night Live sketch from years ago. Any hoo-hoo, so we're still talking about It's a Wonderful Life, I guess. And, you know, I want someone to explain to me, because I literally did. There were parts, I have to admit, that I fast-forwarded through this thing. I can't believe this movie from 1946
is 2 hours. Well, no wonder it didn't inspire
you. Ugh, this 2 hours and 10 minutes long. I don't have that much time in a day. And so...
It was an incredibly long
movie. So you went back to watching the...
its age.
Did you go back to watching the Lord of the Rings extended version?
That's where I spend my time. No. So someone, one of you who gave it your fullest attention, explain to me the arc of this movie, because you fill in the details to me. What I saw happen was he was a little boy, something, he fell in the lake, or his brother fell in the lake. Something happened to his ear, and then he got boxed in the ear by some guy who was a pharmacist who tried to poison someone, and then fast forward, bingity-boom, and now he's an old man, and then he's graduating high school. He looks old, but he's only in high school or college or whatever. And then he wants to be somebody big and huge, but his dad dies, so then he has to come back and run the bank, and then something happens and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. He gets disgruntled. He marries this hot lady named Mary Hatch, and they have 3 or 4 kids. And then all of a sudden he owes $8,000 and he wants to jump off a bridge, and then the town saves him. That's basically what I got. But I didn't see any police shooting into crowds or anything like that. So what did I miss in this storyline, this arc?
No, I think you got it. It's a pretty positive film.
I think it was
pretty positive.
Going through showing, you know, all the good stuff that he's done through his life. He saved his brother. He saved the pharmacist guy. He's nice to everybody in the town. And then, his partner loses $8,000. That guy's an idiot, by the way. And then,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he takes the fall for him, and he's gonna go kill himself because he's worth more dead than he is alive because of his life insurance policy.
Yeah, he's got a $15,000 insurance policy out on himself.
And so this angel comes down to show him what life would be like if he didn't exist. And he goes to downtown, their little whatever, Potter's Falls or whatever the town's called. And there's like strip clubs everywhere. And he punches a cop and runs away. And the cop just starts unloading into the crowd.
Yes, he does.
Was that cop Bert or Ernie? Because I did notice that was the names of the cops.
Thank you for mentioning that.
And that's pretty much the climax of the movie, is this, you know, this shooting in the town square. No, nobody really seems to care that this cop just starts firing off his pistol. It's amazing.
I just picked up where he walks back into his house, and he's, like, shocked. He's like, oh, this, I love this dusty old drafty house. And then he's like, his wife and kids are back, and he's like, oh, I love it. And then all the people come in. They start pouring out their money in their tip jars and blah, blah, blah.
Just piles of money. Yeah. And then it turns out he didn't even need the money, because his buddy, Sam, who got into plastics, who would later go on to destroy the ocean and kill turtles.
Of course.
Sent him $25,000 anyway, or access to 25. So I would, you know, if I was one of those people in the house, I'd kind of quietly go up and grab my
take your money back.
Money back, and that's probably why I will be visited by an angel tonight as well.
Yeah, that's right. We all will. Byron, what's your reason for being visited by a Christmas angel tonight?
Probably for trying to be forcing this to be too positive when there is definitely some glaring problems with this film, but I'm still going to try to be positive about this anyway, because I guess this is the film that I needed to watch this year.
It is. Well, that's good. I'm glad it gave you some hope and such.
I'm thinking of other movies where people got a glimpse of what, you know, a different path would have looked like. And I'm thinking of, did you guys ever see that movie called The Family Man with Nicolas Cage?
Yes, I have.
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Although in that case, he got a glimpse of a more positive life that he didn't.
Yeah,
that he didn't lead.
Yeah, that's true. He did get a more positive thing where he was actually a family man, and it was. Yeah, I agree.
But Scrooge. I wanted to say about his wife. Scrooge. I think the reason, Matt, why you think she's so amazing is because every time they show her, they've got that frosty filter, like in Star Trek. Whenever they show a woman,
filter. The whole glamour shots filter over the top of it, like
Vaseline
on the screen.
I did know. I mean, so they literally wipe Vaseline over the lens back in the day. And I saw that in some of the shots, but no, not in all of them. Mm-mm, nope, she is she's.
So every time they showed Jimmy, then they would have to go clean the lens off again.
No, there were shots when they were together, and it looked very gauzy, and but other ones, no, not so much.
I guess a little point that I wanted to bring up too is
for
like
Donna
the
Reed.
Reason why Donna Reed I think looks so much better is because everyone in comparison is kind of iffy in itself. I mean, they're kind of newer actors. I mean, they're actors we have never heard of. I mean, like you talked about it with some of these lines and stuff, then their delivery have just been kind of off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old, I think it's just acting and just movie making was so different than, I don't know. I mean, it's also shocking to think that this was 1 year after Victory in Europe and Victory in Japan, you know, day. And so there's a big, heavy World War II influence on this. And I guess my thing is, like, I just can't believe people were ever as just kind of folksy and innocent as old movies make it seem. Like, oh, gee, mister, thanks for the nickel. You know, it's like, God, were people really like that?
Why, what's happened to you, Matt?
Yeah, I guess I need
you just don't have the spirit of Christmas.
I need some sort of angel that's shaped like a galaxy out in some space to come down.
That was cutting-edge, like, special effects back in the day. I think that was Industrial Light and Magic did this movie.
Oh, definitely ILM had their hand in that, for sure.
So, Matt, when we're done with this podcast recording, are you going to dig into, because you seem pretty smitten, are you going to dig into the Donna Reed filmography and start going back and watching some of her other movies?
I have been. Turns out she's quite the philanthropist, not just a actress, and she's a pretty smart cookie. You know, she'd give any male actor a run for their money back then, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I have a lot, much admiration for her beyond her glory days here. But no, I'm not going to watch any more of these movies unless she was in, I don't know. I mean, unless they CGI her into something newer.
Well, for our next movie on the Parkway podcast, we're going to be doing 1941's Babes on Broadway, starring Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, with co-starring Donna Reed.
Yeah, no. I'd rather watch 1941. Have you guys seen 1941? That's much better.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, I'd much rather watch that, and that's a horrible movie. No. I don't know what else we have to say. Someone else take it over and then convince me that I should maybe give this another shot or just give up hope. And
yeah, I just think you need a heart.
Yeah, probably. I'm grinching it up. Laird, what are you going to tell me?
Yeah, well, if you don't like it, you don't like it, I guess. But I felt inspired by this film, and I really liked it.
Did you now? That's not doing it for me.
I know.
Well, I want you to know, Byron, that if you ever are in a situation where you need $8,000 or you're going to go Michael Douglas and falling down, I will come over to your house and drop a couple bucks in a big bowl.
Oh, thanks. You're not just going to pull out your pistol and just start shooting at me randomly into a crowd?
Nope. Mm. So I think you're already there. You're not going to be visited by an angel tonight.
Yeah. Now you keep referring to falling down. Is that movie? Does he just need a few $1,000s? Does Michael Douglas just need some money?
No, I think he has like some road rage.
He has a break.
Yeah,
he breaks. Well, I mean,
Jimmy Stewart has a break in this movie. Are you kidding me? He goes and gets hammered, drives his car into a tree.
Yeah, he drives drunk. By the way, I mean we need to talk.
Well,
about
goes
that.
Home and just starts railing on his family.
Yeah. Yeah, why do we have to have all these kids? I'm like, wow, that's harsh. That's the most harsh thing I've ever heard in a movie, maybe.
Totally.
and of course, you know, I'm like, oh, Donna Reed, you know, you call me. Yeah, you don't need this abuse.
This guy's a
loser. Need this abuse.
This guy ogles women on the streets.
The worst thing that happens in that house is he pulls up the like little banister thing. That's the worst thing that's
going
on. Oh,
yeah,
But then at the end, when he goes home and it pops off, he's so happy to see it that he just kisses it.
He gives it a kiss.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And which, you know, is an echo. I think it's a callback to my favorite Christmas movie, which is the one we should have been doing, guys. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Lethal Weapon?
No.
Die Hard.
No. Boys. It's the boys. I always do
boys.
That. Boys. Ah. I'll give you a hint. Clark W. Griswold pulls out his chainsaw and fixes the newel post, honey. I fixed the newel post.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if that is a nice callback to this movie. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, see? That's a better movie. We should have done that one. It's the greatest. Are we going to keep talking about this, or should we wrap this thing up? What do you think?
I think we can put a bow on this bad boy.
Yeah, put a bow on it. Well, that's great. Ward, why don't you tell us what's coming up at the Parkway?
Well, aside from counting the billions of dollars that was just promised to us by the government, the Parkway Theater has really nothing going on. This pandemic came along, and, you know, the governor shut down venues for the time being, so it's kind of quiet over there. We did a really great live stream with a singer, Lissy, over the weekend. So check out our website, parkwaytheater.com, and you can find merch. We've got some great hats and shirts, and check out some virtual cinema, which helps support the Parkway Theater. Byron, what do you got going on?
Up on the Fun V podcast, we are still in the Bond universe, and we are finally, I shouldn't say finally, but we are through the Roger Moore films.
And we now have a new James Bond entering the scene of Timothy Dalton. And we're going to be reviewing The Living Daylights, which is his first or debut film for that.
Yes. Yes, can't wait to discuss. Well, thanks, Byron. As always, if you'd like to reach out to the Parkway Podcast, you can reach us at parkwaytheaterpodcast@gmail.com or give us a call at 612-217-2520 and leave a voicemail. Send us some Christmas wishes. You know, tell me why my heart is all crusty and tiny, because I don't like this movie. If you enjoyed this episode, which I'm guessing you didn't, if you like the movie. Coming up next in the frozen, deep Arctic January Minnesota, we'll be discussing The Thing from 1982. And I can't wait for that. Ward and Byron, I'm Matt, signing off this episode of the Parkway Podcast. I love those jingle bells.